Welcome to Digital Transformation Viewpoints podcast by ARC Advisory Group. I'm Inderpreet Shokar, Senior Analyst at ARC, and today we will discuss trends around leading connected technologies and workforce productivity with Vincent Higgins. Vincent is Global Director for Honeywell's Digital Transformation and Workforce Excellence business, which is a part of Honeywell's Digital Transformation Initiative for its industrial customers. Prior to working at Honeywell, Vincent was the CEO of a technology company that provides advanced digital solutions to industrial customers. Vincent also led leadership at consulting firms and is the author of the book Social Influence and Genius. In this book, Vincent develops an innovative new model for organizational and leadership development. So Vincent, thank you so much for joining us today. We're very excited to have you.
Thank you, Preet, for having me. I really appreciate it.
So, Vincent, to start off our discussion today, I would really like to hear from you some insights regarding the challenges faced by industrial companies when it comes to aging workforce, skills gap, manual processes, and so on. Can you please shed some light on these challenges?
Oh, absolutely. I would say this. First of all, it is a major issue what many companies are facing with the retiring workforce. Many of the best and brightest are retiring. For instance, in the oil and gas industry, in the next 5 years, over 60% of the senior most engineers will be in retirement. And that leaves a pretty large gap in terms of knowledge and skills. When we talk about workforce and workforce excellence, we think about it in terms of knowledge transfer from, say, the experience of the older generation to the newer generation, but also a skills transfer, those practical hands-on skills that you have to learn in the field. So some pretty big gaps there in terms of this knowledge transfer, and it's actually becoming quite critical in a number of the manufacturing industries, this lack of knowledge and skill, particularly in moments where there's a critical function that goes down or a shutdown or something that's infrequent but critical for the day-to-day operations and how you handle those situations. So it is, in a sense, becoming critical that companies address workforce excellence and workforce competency as well as productivity. And those are very much connected, those two elements. For instance, a data point of 40% of downtime is associated with human error. And human error goes back to competency, ultimately, making the right decisions at the right time. So there's a real need. Our customers at Honeywell are seeing a tremendous need for solutions, particularly connected solutions, which address both productivity as well as competency together, not as separate entities, but together as a holistic program to address competency and productivity, and to that matter, safety in the same breath.
I absolutely agree with you, Vincent. You know, whenever we talk to end users, skills gap is one of the major challenge, and you know, they are trying to address this with the help of technology and connected technologies, to be very specific. I would also like to learn about some of the leading industry trends that are associated with worker productivity and competency. Would you like to please share some of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, you look at where we are, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit in my thought process to COVID and what we've seen throughout this COVID time. There's been a real spotlight put on the remote worker. So for us, remote worker is the individual at home who has to manage, or both parents have to manage, say, two children. Or on the children's Zoom calls, themselves both working full time, having to manage all that and being productive as a quote unquote remote worker. You know, if you think about the desk bound versus the deskless worker, there's over 2.7 billion deskless workers out there, and that is to say they're not bound to a desk, that are using their hands to do their work. And you think about the productivity for the desk-bound worker over this time period, let's say the last 10 years, how effective we become at, you know, Zoom and Microsoft Teams and all of the Microsoft Suite tools to project management tools to get stuff done. It's quite amazing how productive we've become with some of these digital and connected tools for those that are sitting at the desk. it's not the case in many instances out in the field, where folks in the refinery industry are still using pencil and paper to do inspection and operator rounds. They're going back to the control room and filling out Excel sheets. That data is trapped. It can't be reused. It can't be used for some of the newer technologies from an analytics perspective. So there's a great deal of opportunity to transform the deskless worker. And that's really in my work as the leader of the Workforce Excellence Group at Honeywell, is to really renew and transform the deskless worker from a competency, productivity, as well as a safety perspective. And there's lots of room for improvement because the tools we're using are so outdated. And then, of course, the data that can come from that, the data analytics, machine learning, and AI that we're working on for some future projects, are the data, the insights that can come from that are quite amazing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I also work at the desk. For me, it wasn't that different working from office or working from home. But for the deskless worker who are in the field, it's not that easy. Would you like to share a little more about the Workforce Excellence initiative, and how do you see this initiative fit in the post-COVID world? And what are the various advantages it will offer?
Well, I think we go back to skills gaps. You know, we mentioned that at the beginning of our podcast. I think if we start from there, and where is the gap in skills and knowledge for the worker in a given moment in their life, in the typical day in the life of a worker, that's where it has to all begin. And currently, and from a training perspective, we address those skills gaps in a very kind of old-fashioned way, which is typically classroom learning. You know, we've advanced it a little bit with e-learning. It addresses, you know, one size fits all. Essentially, everyone has to take the same courses, the same certifications. I know in the oil and gas industry, every 3 years, you have to sit 5 days in a classroom to get these or those certifications for offshore or in refining and petrochem. And it doesn't really address the personal needs of where people are at in terms of the gaps. And really, it's not very engaging either, because it's the same stuff and it's easy to get distracted and you can be multitasking and all the rest. What we try to do at Honeywell is start at a very high level, addressing the skills gaps and the knowledge gaps. And we do that by assessing our customers' personnel at each job role. I am a maintenance engineer. I am a panel operator. I'm a reliability engineer. I'm in the field doing inspections. I'm doing maintenance on equipment, and actually using some of the latest tools like simulation, virtual and augmented reality. We have a very large initiative in that regard to actually put people into fully immersive three-dimensional virtual reality simulators that look and feel exactly like the world they live in every day. And we ask them, change the seal on this pump or troubleshoot this compressor, and what would you do? And the AI behind the virtual reality simulator actually, along with some instructor intervention, actually helps very precisely determine the skills and the knowledge gaps that are present. So that's step one, determine the gaps. And then build your training curriculum in a way which targets those gaps, that fills those gaps. So training, we have an important metric called time to competency. How quickly you can get up to speed or back up to speed on a particular skill or in a particular area. If you're a new employee, there's a learning curve. If you're an experienced employee, maybe there's a special area that you need to be updated on, or a refresher course as you go into a specific line of business. But the idea here is to build a hybrid sort of targeted training curriculum, which involves e-learning, enhanced e-learning with 3D simulations themselves, data analytics tools, and essentially get you up to speed faster and in a much more targeted way. And then, of course, you take your exams and those things that prove that you do know it, and even simulations to help you prove that you are truly qualified and certified to do that work. And then when they go back into the field, we have also another platform that we call it our mobility platform or our field assistance platform, using wearable devices and handhelds to help support, but also track how long steps are taking in a process, how well are you doing in a maintenance activity relative to several hundred other people who would do a similar maintenance activity. And so there's some monitoring going on to help you identify some further skills gaps or concerns. And then that process starts over again to target those skills gaps with a program that's specific to the needs of the customer. This program is very strong in places where localization and nationalization are key, like in the Middle East and other parts of the world, where rather than having expats come in, the quote-unquote experts, the local individuals that are being trained are taking over some of the major activities because we have these excellent tools to get them up to speed faster and keep them competent over time and monitor any dips in competency so that we can get through refresher courses, even out in the field as you're doing your work, video courses, just before you begin a project or begin an activity to refresh your memory as to what you need to do to get things done. So this overall program involves data analytics tools, virtual and augmented reality, simulation, e-learning, all combined together in an outcome-based offering where we're actually measuring the quality of the training and getting paid based on those KPIs that are being met or not met in the field.
That is great. That sounds very, very interesting, Vincent. You mentioned, interesting technologies for training. Would you like to share more about the technologies associated with enabling worker productivity and competency? And I would especially like to know, what are the trends that you foresee in the future regarding these?
Yeah, I'll highlight two areas. The first is mobility. We've always talked about mobility as something that we associate with productivity, things like step-by-step procedures or workflows that help you get through a particular series of steps. We're also now implementing other aspects to that, things like geolocation and geofencing. As you enter a hazardous area, it will remind you, do you have the appropriate protective equipment? Do you have the individual that's certified to be there with you? It providing the data in the field based on your location also. So if there's 10 pumps in a row that one of those needs the impeller changed, you're not changing the wrong impeller because it's telling you it's this equipment and not that equipment. So there's a lot of kind of technologies we see in the consumer space. Think of your Google Maps and your Uber and those things that pull together a variety of different technologies to provide a seamless experience in the field. It's very user-friendly. We're adopting some of those technologies, including mapping and geolocation, geofencing, and other information from the DCS system to bring more intelligence to the worker in the field at the moment when they're doing their job. So that's, I highlight the mobility. It's not just purely an app on a phone, but it's combining several technologies to provide a transformational experience for the field worker. And the other is where we're going with virtual reality. We're hearing, Facebook is dedicating 10,000 of their employees to virtual and augmented reality. And maybe they're doing it for more of a social media perspective. Apple is talking about virtual reality. It's becoming a major push in technology to build virtual worlds to transform for us at Honeywell how work is done, how people are trained, how people are assessed. So Honeywell launched in October of last year what's called its Immersive Field Simulator. It's a end-to-end virtual and augmented reality simulator that basically creates a virtual environment that looks just like the real world that you're in, your LNG station or plant, your pulp and paper facility, your refinery. And we do that in two ways, either through photography and photogrammetry and scanning to scan and build a virtual world, or taking the engineering drawings and converting that with some artistic capabilities to provide a virtual environment, which you walk into together with several colleagues and your instructor, and you're able to do pretty much anything you do in the real world, whether it's a safety scenario, a maintenance scenario, an operational scenario. And the AI that's behind the scenes is actually measuring how well you're performing relative to some performance metrics, and providing both assessment as well as training opportunities in the field. We see virtual and augmented reality as a big future for training and competency, and Honeywell's leading the way in terms of bringing forth a platform that changes when the plant changes. So that's in this building these virtual worlds, change management it has always been a struggle. And because the plant is always changing, so we're able, it's modular enough. So if a particular process changes, you're able to replicate this digital twin. And we have two digital twins running in the background. One is the 3D model, essentially the visuals, the sights and sounds of the virtual world. That's what we call the 3D digital twin. But there's also a mathematical digital twin that also runs in the background that looks at the assets, the you know, the physical assets like pumps and heat exchangers and other equipment, rotating and non-rotating equipment, their temperature, the pressure, the flow, the rotations, the bearings, all of that information from the perspective of equipment, and then also from the process. So the process models and the asset models of what would actually be happening in a real plant are running in the background. So when you turn a valve in the virtual world, it's actually changing the flow, temperature, pressure, and you're getting a realistic feedback of what a real plant would do in real time. So you think about a flight simulator and how realistic that is. If you push down on the throttle, if you switch, put down the landing gear, if you feel the wind or the shear, all of those realistic effects that you would expect in a flight simulator, you're getting also in a simulator for a plant or a manufacturing environment, because those mathematical models in the background, the process and asset digital twins are working with the digital twin of the 3D, which gives the visuals to create a multiplayer, thinking about a game environment, a multiplayer, highly interactive environment where you can practice, train, and be tested and assessed on pretty much any situation, simple, safe, unsafe, hazardous, because you're doing it in a safe environment, and really increase the time to competency and that comprehension. Because one thing is to see a video, another thing is to hear a lecture. But with when you have sight and sound and interaction, you're codifying all of these activities in your mind, and you're getting, you know, typical classroom training, the retention rates from a knowledge and skills perspective is around 15 to 20%. What we're finding is we're getting 80 to 85% retention rates in these virtual environments, because you're codifying all of these experiences and you're used to working in that world. It's just in a virtual environment. So it's pretty amazing the results we're seeing as these virtual environments are being rolled out for some of our key customers.
That's great. Yeah, we hear about, you know, similar trends around digital twin, mobility, and augmented and virtual reality. And users are trying to adopt these technologies, you know, to improve workforce productivity, help improve the training programs. But, you know, when forward-looking suppliers like Honeywell, they form a complete solution, it, you know, definitely helps with the adoption and simplifies the adoption for end user. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Yeah. So moving on to my next question, Vincent, you know, end users, industrial companies, they get different suggestions. And one leading one these days is that they should try to build a resilient workforce strategy to stay relevant in the digital world. Any thoughts on why should companies consider building a resilient workforce strategy and how it can help them?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite subjects. When we think about connected devices, connected assets, digital twins, we think a lot about the numbers and about the productivity and the equipment. We don't think as much about the worker. I'm a strong believer, and I speak often in public about this, that the worker, the human person, is at the core of the Internet of Things, because we're never, even with all that we see in AI and machine learning, we're never going to replace the worker as a key decision maker. We will never, I don't believe, in our generation or future generations, that the human element is going to be completely taken out. We do talk about autonomous activities and using AI to standardize processes and to do certain things in an automated fashion, but the human being will always make the key decisions around. And I see this ecosystem of digital tools and AI and machine learning as at the service of the human being. And, you know, I think that's the right approach. And we talk about the resilient workforce. That's the, I believe, the correct approach to take. Think about these tools as supporting better decision-making, reducing error, increasing productivity, and making the human more human in the sense that they are, you know, is work made for the man and the woman, or is the man and woman made for work? I believe that as human beings, work is part of what perfects us as human beings, makes us more human, more complete. And that's maybe more philosophical. But from, I believe that does flow into the need for seeing all of these connected tools at the service of better decision making and better choices. You know, I mentioned earlier this that human error has a huge impact upon productivity. And the productivity of individuals is directly connected to the knowledge or the insights that they have. So things like AI and machine learning, I believe, are really meant to bring insights back to decision makers to help them make better choices, whether it's at the micro level, you might say, at the plant level, or the manufacturing space where I'm in front of a piece of equipment, or rolling up into the corporate level where you're seeing metrics across multiple sites and looking at productivity at a much higher level, or mistakes that are being made and their effects on productivity. So when you're going back to resilience, we've seen during COVID that people can step up and step forward and be truly productive. I think a lot of corporate America is very surprised that despite being at home, despite the challenges of schooling their kids, despite long hours in front of a computer, we can still be productive. Now, there are elements around collaboration and creativity that are missing. And I think we're seeing some trends to go back to work from some of the big tech companies because they're missing some of those pieces of creativity and collaboration you just can't get over a Zoom call. But resilience is big in the spotlight. Productivity and the human side of living. I think the more we emphasize that, the more the workplace will improve, morale will improve, collaboration will improve, and ultimately profits will improve.
Great take, Vincent. I really like you're saying making humans more human. Mm-hmm. Coming back to Workforce Excellence Initiative at Honeywell, can you please provide more detail on this and share a little more about various focus areas of the initiative?
Yeah, so it comes down into, I mentioned the mobility side. I mentioned virtual and augmented reality for simulation. We kind of bundle this all together in what's called our competency programs. It's kind of the end-to-end. And you can start with a particular solution. You can start, build a simulator for us to do this, or build an analytics tool to help, our workers in the field be more productive through our workflow solution or our video communications capabilities or something around thermal imaging or geofencing or geolocation. So you can start there. But the beauty of it is these are building blocks to a larger program. And we always, when we talk to customers, we always stop at the top down and say, look, many companies have individual kind of point solutions or tools to do specific things to improve productivity, competency, or safety. But what we're trying to do is an end-to-end virtuous kind of circle that goes on and on from the perspective of it's not enough to get people competent working today, but it has to be an ongoing process because they're always facing new things and new challenges. And the tools, again, at the service of the individual, have to respond to that. And competency isn't a one-shot deal. It's an ongoing process. So we like to bring our customers in, perhaps starting with a series of tools, but ultimately, and some of our customers have bought in completely, to taking it end-to-end, supplying the tools, digital tools when needed. But digital tools on their own as standalones really do not impact profitability the way a end-to-end program would, because it's not holistic enough and it doesn't address the many facets of both the challenges in the plant, but also the many facets of the human person and how they deal with the day-to-day urgent issues that are occurring. So, and there's kind of two modes. One is, you know, a quote unquote standard contract over multiple years with these tools, with the overall strategy in place for the customer. And the second, and which I think is actually more effective, is to attach some KPIs, some key performance indicators in terms of, you know, what does it mean to build a competent person or a competent team and get paid based on these metrics in within the workforce and within the plant. So that's the direction we're heading. We've done it with other programs. And so for those who are really wanted to take this on completely, having a KPI or outcome-based approach to these programs, these end-to-end programs, are really effective, and they provide, you know, skin in the game for Honeywell to really overperform in order to meet the metrics that that are challenge that are laid down as a challenge for improving productivity, competency, and safety.
And that's great. That's great. Any more insights on how industrial companies will benefit from this initiative?
I would say this, just get started. I've talked to a lot of CIOs, CTOs, and some of our major companies we work with. And there's so many vendors out there that do digital tools, digital type tools. I would say if you don't have the budget to do it end to end, just start with something, but start with something that focuses on competency, on improving the way people grow in their knowledge or build, you know, fill those knowledge gaps or the skills gaps. And then knowing that those building blocks will and can become a full-blown program, which is the most effective way to drive, you know, the bottom line, which is this what this is really all about. You know, it's not training for its own sake. It's not productivity for its own sake. Ultimately, it's about business and it's about making or saving money. And what we're seeing is those that fully embrace the program, and particularly the outcome-based or the performance-based, are the ones that benefit the most. So pilot the tools, and sometimes you need to pilot mobility tools, or there's different levels of engagement that you can do it, but try piloting with a dozen users, a few dozen users and a couple of plants, and set some your own KPIs. And see, and because you have to prove to your own internal corporate groups that this is really going to make a difference. And it's not done by embracing everything at once many times. It's done by embracing a part of it and knowing the other pieces are there to fill in as time goes on.
Great, great advice, Vincent. So with that, I've covered all of my questions. Thank you so much, Vincent, for joining us today. It was great to learn about trends around workforce productivity and all the related initiatives at Honeywell.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
So this is Inderpreet Shokar of ARC, and we were talking with Vincent Higgins of Honeywell. Thank you all for listening and have a great day. Goodbye.